1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading, not at the first verse, but farther down. I want to read verse 9, 10, and 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Father, we thank Thee this morning for Your goodness, mercy, and love and letting us assemble together as a New Testament church. We're thankful for the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ that went to Calvary, their purpose and plan of Almighty God, and shed His blood for our sins. We're thankful that in time the gospel was brought to us. The death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it came not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And we know there was the effectual working within us, Lord, that were dead in trespasses and sins, brought us to the true and the living God, in and through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for life. We're thankful most of all for eternal life that we have in You. Now I pray this morning, Lord, that You'd be pleased to bless Your Word as it goes forth. Help me that I might be able to rightly divide the Word of truth and say the things that ought to be said for Your honor and glory. And may even today, may someone that has not yet been saved, may this be the day that they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray now that You would forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen. A person that dies without the Lord Jesus Christ, they die in their sins. They may be a fornicator. They may be an idolater. They may be an adulterer. They may be an abuser of themselves with mankind. They may be a thief. They may be covetous. They may be a drunkard. They may be a reviler. And they may be an extortioner. And they die in their sins, and dying in their sins, their righteousness is as filthy rags. And therefore, they spend an eternity in a devil's hell. Now, a person may be a fornicator. They may even this morning be an idolater. They may be an adulterer. They may be effeminate. They may be an abuser of themselves with mankind. They may be a thief. They may be covetous. They may be a drunkard. They may be a reviler. They may be an extortioner. That may be the case of some individual this morning. And the Lord grants them repentance and faith and saves them. Then that means that He gives them eternal life, and they shall inherit the kingdom of God. And they do not stand then in their righteousness, but they stand in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that is imputed to them. And then even though that there may be a struggle in their life and there may be some temptations and falling into sin, they will not any longer be under the dominion of that sin. They will not be under the dominion of fornication. They'll not be under the dominion of being an idolater. They'll not be under the dominion of being an adulterer. They'll not be under the dominion of being an abuser of themselves of mankind. They'll not be under the dominion of thievery. They'll not be under the dominion of covetousness. They'll not be under the dominion of drunkenness. They'll not be under the dominion of a reviler or an extortioner, because they've been saved by the grace of God And there is a new creature. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And when these thoughts or these sins come in their life, then the Holy Spirit will convict them of them, and they'll confess them to the Father in and through Jesus Christ, because those sins were paid for at Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, something, you know, there's always there's always what we call current events. just about as current as you can get them. When we were in school, we always would, a lot of times, we'd be asked up for the class and give a speech on a current event. In other words, they'd want us to pick up the newspaper or something or get the news that just happened and to get up and to give a short speech on it. Well, what sort of causes me by the Holy Spirit to be led to my subject this morning is what has recently happened or been brought out in the news, a current event. And I'm sure that maybe not all of you, because some of you maybe don't ever hear the news or see the news or where you can, but many people today usually know what's going on in the news. And so the thing that really whips up my subject here from the Word of God under the leadership of the Holy Spirit is that boy that went to school in a dress, wearing high heels or whatever he was wearing. And he got thrown out of school. Now, I don't know what you think about that. I don't have no idea what you think about it. But did you know why he said he did it? He was trying to express himself and his lifestyle, being a gay. He said, they said, are you going to do it again? I'm going to do it again. 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 Now, the question comes in my mind. There's a lot of thoughts here in this. I could say a lot of things this morning, make every one of you blasted mad. You know, but I don't intend on doing that. By the grace of God, I hope not. but the thing that I thought about is, where's his parents? Where's his parents? Does he have parents? He's got parents somewhere, you know. I don't know where they are, but he got them somewhere. Because you're not born without parents. Now, I realize and I know, and I can't read your thoughts or what you're thinking. I don't even intend to. But what would you do if that was your child? Now, I'm going to put it right to you. Through the years, and I've noticed, and you know, trends have come and styles have come and people have done different things. And you know, some, we, according to our thinking, we thought some things were very extravagant and it was many times according to our thinking and, of course, what we believed about the Word of God. Too long has this been said, you know, and so parents came to the place where they couldn't do nothing to their children, or they thought they couldn't, or they wouldn't do anything with them. And so then when they got to doing these things, they said, well, they're just trying to be different. That's different, all right. It's different. It really is. But now I said all that to say this. As God's people, we need to know where we stand. Now I know there would be nothing that would be any more shameful to me or that I would be heartbroken. Maybe not from a false sense of pride. You know, sometimes people are hurt because it's hard on their pride. And they got a selfish pride, you know. They're not really interested in the individual, the child. They're interested in their selfish pride. I don't know of anything that would be any more shameful or any more hurtful to me or break my heart any more than if that was one of mine. If that was my son or my grandson. But if it was, it would not change the truth. And it should not stand, it should not change how I feel or how I stand for the truth. Now, I don't know, but I'd have to admire J.G. Cates and the way he stood. I mean, it's public record. I have to admire a man stand like that. Now, you think with me. Now, what we're coming to is, you know, there's a lot of things that people do, and they don't know what they're doing. They do it because everybody else is doing it, and don't necessarily mean they're what everybody else is. Now, y'all follow me in that? And they get caught up in some fad or something or some style because everybody else is doing it, and they don't think about what it represents or what it is and really what it is. They're just doing it because everybody else is, and you can't really say that they are what everybody else is. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. But we ought to be very careful as born-again believers, as Christians, as members of New Testament Baptist churches, that we do those things which would identify us with Christ. And would be interested in doing those things which would not identify us with the world. Now, I believe that there is a curse that is upon our nation. I believe this curse is the curse of immorality. Now, it doesn't do any good to talk about when I was in school because nobody wants to hear it. It doesn't do any good to talk about the 40s and 50s and how things was, you know, because people said, well, those times will never be no more. That's probably true in one sense. But those times were times that were not as immoral as they are today, and there was not the curse of immorality upon our nation like there is today. I'm thankful to have been educated in the 50s. I'm thankful to have had teachers that you knew that if you didn't toe the mark or toe the line, that they would get you quick. And you'd have to go to the principal's office, and you was answerable to authority, and then the worst thing in the world was when you got home. When you got home, your parents, whether you was right or wrong, gave you a good thrashing. Now, we've lost all that, brethren. We don't have that, and that's the reason that we're in, and you can't teach anything if you don't have order. If you don't have law and order, and if you don't have the attention of people in the classrooms, you can't teach anything. And so, but we find today, and I thought about the immorality. Now, we're not over the thing of abortion. Abortion is a terrible thing. Drugs is a terrible thing that we're faced with today. But one of the most severe problems that we're faced with today, and I'm not belittling or playing down drugs or abortion or alcohol or any of these things. I'm not playing them down. But the biggest thing that we're faced with today is homosexuality. And I tell you, more and more do we see how rampant this is. And more do we see how that this is being pushed on and down the throats of people that believe in God, that believe God's Word, and believe that it's an abomination. More and more we see this. It's a terrible thing that we have had so many people as of late put in office that are homosexuals. It's terrible. That's terrible. Now, how do you think they're going to rule, and where do you think they're going to be swayed by, and where do you think they're going to lean? Well, you can already see it. You can watch Janet Reno, and you'll already see what she does. You can already see who's pulling her strings and what she's doing and what she's going to go out against. And she's going to come down on you. It's who she's going to come down on. And not only her, but many others. And here we've got laws against the thing. But these laws are trying to be overthrown, and they are being overthrown. Now, I believe that our young people, I'm talking about, you know, like Ashley and like Kathy's kids and you know, Christy and Beth and I'm thinking about Frank and you know, and Tom and Jeff and all these young kids, you know. How that they are being brought into a period of time and being taught by many that this is to be an acceptable lifestyle, an acceptable standard. But that teaching is wrong. And the reason it's wrong is because it's contrary to the Word of God. I just read, and the scripture that I read there was in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10, and 11. Now, let's just go through some scriptures this morning. And I, by the grace of God, and I think all of us by the grace of God, are not to hate anybody. By the grace of God, we're not to hate any person. But we're to hate sin. And we're to hate unrighteousness. We're to hate unlawful and ungodly acts. We're to hate those things. Let's go to the book of Genesis. And this is an age-old problem. And God specifically brought this out. I believe that God knew during the year of 93 and 94, I believe that He knew exactly where we were going to be and the situation we was going to be in as a nation and what we are faced with as God's people and as churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that God knew that such a day was coming, and He wrote to us about it in Genesis and all through the Word of God so that we might know where to stand and what to do. Now look in Genesis chapter 18 and notice with me in verse 20 and verse 21. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, now I want you to notice this, and because their sin is very grievous. Now homosexuality is a very grievous sin against God. All of your talk shows and all of your Ann Landers and all that you write into and everything, there's people continually writing in about this and asking what makes people homosexual. The Bible says that all men are totally depraved. Now, man acts according to his nature, his depraved nature. And the only thing that'll change that is to have a new nature. And then that new nature fights against that old nature. And there's a battle and there's a warfare that goes on. And so what God says here about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, and regardless, this is what the Bible teaches, what God, regardless of what people say, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was homosexuality. That's what it was. I can show you, and I will show you this. And He said, their sin is very grievous. Now look, I will go down now. And of course, God is using this in terms that we can understand. And He didn't have to go down to see what was going on. He knew what was going on. But notice, He says, and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. But then go to the 19th chapter. Turn over a page in the 19th chapter. Now look at, and to show you what the sin that was this very grievous sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was, and is in Genesis 19 and verse 1. Now look, And there came two angels to Sodom and even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself. This is a theophany. These are angels that have taken on human form. And they're angels, but they have taken on the bodies of men, and they appear as men. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways." This is in verse 2. And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." But now, Lot knew the kind of people that Sodomites were. He knew that this thing had gotten completely to where it was out of control. Now here's what we're facing. We're facing an openness of it in our public schools. We're getting geared for this. You boys and girls, listen to me. We're facing this in our public schools. You are going to eventually be taught and encouraged even to engage in this kind of a lifestyle in the public schools. This was part of the CARA thing. Social reform is what it is. CARA is not education reform, it's social reform. It has nothing to do with education. Now, I could really get a lot of black marks for saying that, but that's what it is. And that's the way it is. It's social reform. It's what it is. And this is one of the things that is going to be promoted in our educational system. Now, you boys and girls are going to have to come to grips with this as to whether this kind of a thing is right or whether it's wrong. And the only way that you're going to know whether it's right or wrong is by what God's Word says. That's the only way. This thing is also being pushed and promoted by Hollywood. It is a coming thing on our It's already here on television, but it is going to be more open. And we're going to see more and more of sodomy, of homosexuality, of lesbians and gays. We're going to see more and more of this. And these are the ones that are going to have the model role, and they're the ones that's going to have the preeminence, and they're going to be the ones that are going to be highlighted as the ones as role models that you ought to follow. I tell you, there was this kind of a thing in the 50s, but you didn't have that problem in schools. We had one or two in the high school that I went to, Madison Central High School at Richmond. We had one or two that we thought could possibly be. We suspected it. But didn't nobody say nothing. We suspected it. And I think with one of them it proved out later on in life that he was, according to what he did before he died and how he died, that he wants. But I tell you, you didn't have no problem telling who was girls and who was boys. And I believe that this is something that is upon us. Now look here in 19:1 and verse 4 now. They wanted to abide in the street all night, and he pressed them and said, "I want you to come into my house. It's imperative that you come into my house." And look at verse 4. But before they lay down, now I want you to see, the M-E-N, not the women, but the M-E-N of the city, even the M-E-N of Sodom, the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young. of them. Michael Jackson would have had a heyday. That sissy, spineless creature. You know what they're saying now? He's going to start pumping iron. He's waited too late. They say he's going to take on a new image. He's going to start pumping iron. I know. Well, I ain't going to say. I said I'm going to, by the grace of God, restrain myself this morning. Y'all aren't so foolish to not be able to see through that, are you? But now notice. But before they lay down, the men, M-E-N, of the city, even the M-E-N of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now look at verse 5. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the M-E-N? Now I know y'all can spell, I know you know what the word men means. But I think it ought to be emphasized. Because abusers with mankind is what the Word of God says. And it says, which came into thee this night, bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Now what they were going to do, they were going to have homosexual activity right there in the streets. That's what we have already. Go to San Francisco. You can go to almost any town, any major town that you want, and that's what we got right in the streets. Now you know, we used to and I'm not trying to be cute or funny in this. You know, we used to say, well, I sure wouldn't go to a woman doctor. I'm almost afraid to go to a man. I mean, not that I want a woman doctor. Now, I'm not trying to be cute or nothing. But you know what I'm saying? We always thought it was us. But now it's the other way. Now I'm not stretching. This is not no stretch of imagination. Brethren, this is here. This is here. If we were ever getting like a city of Sodom tomorrow, we're getting that way rapidly. In the day in which we live, and I just wondered, you know, and I thought now that there's certain trends, you know, that homosexuals have had, and they've various things that they've done, you know, and I just wondered now how much this dress trend's going to catch on. Now, what are you going to do if your son or your grandson wants to dress up in high heels and wear a dress to school? What are you going to do? Well, that's up to you. I mean, that's left to you. And we think that's ridiculous. There ain't nothing ridiculous no more. I mean, we're there. This is the curse of immorality that has slowly but surely come upon our nation, the great nation in which we live. And you say, how could this possibly be when people know there's a God and when they know it's an abomination to God? But how can it be when these kind of people can get on television and make fun of God and make fun of people that preach the Word of God and say that you're homophobia? How can that happen? It's happening. The most powerful part of our government is going to enforce it. The IRS. The IRS has no ruling over them. No constraints. Nobody rules over the IRS. Internal Revenue Service. And they're the ones that's going to try, with the other branches of our government, that is going to try to enforce this thing upon us. Into our churches. Into our schools, into our homes. This is exactly what is coming and what is taking place. I believe that, and so much anymore, you know, All you have to do anymore is to claim yourself as some minority group, and you have all the rights, and everybody else has no rights. Is exactly what it's come to and what it speaks about. But now, what we're interested in more or less is God's Word. Look with me in the book of Leviticus. Turn from Genesis over to the book of Leviticus and go to the 18th chapter of the book of Leviticus. And notice here in this 18th chapter of Leviticus, notice three verses, 22, 24, and 30. Now look at 22. He just got through saying in verse 21, I am the Lord. He said, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Now here's the way God designed sex. God designed sex for a man and a woman to marry and then to be his own child. And there's nothing wrong with that sex. There's nothing wrong with talking about it. There's nothing wrong with teaching it. There's nothing wrong with discussing it. That's the Word of God. That's the way God designed it. And God designed it as a union that He would make between a woman and a man, that He would bring together. And then the opposite of that, and that which is abomination to God and contrary to that, is when two men go to bed. Or when two women go to bed. You say, well, you're getting off plaintiffs. Well, why don't you turn off that rotten television?
Amen, sir.
There's more filth comes in your home, and I ain't going to preach filth, talk about filth, but there's more filth comes in your home, and your children are soaking it in, and most people are sitting around and watching these old lousy soap operas and get the same thing. And all that it is, it's of the devil, it's of Satan, it's another way to beguile you, it's another way to fill your mind with filth and to fill your mind with trash. That's all it is, and to put that thought and things, thinking in your head. But now look, he said in verse 23, there's another prayer, abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast. That is, has sex with an animal. To defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And he said, these nations that everybody's feeling sorry for, that's the reason they're cast out. Is because of these sins and these things that are mentioned here. He goes on in the 30th verse and he says, therefore shall you keep mine ordinance that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Now, I didn't say these things are abominable. God said they're abominable. And they're abominable. It don't matter how much Donahue talks about it, Ofer talks about it, or whoever it is talks about it. It don't matter who it is. It's still an abomination to God.
Amen, sir.
It don't matter what Ann Lander says about it. It don't matter what you say about it. It don't matter what I say about it. What it says, what matters is what God says about it. And that is the way that it is in God's Word. Now, look in the 20th chapter of Leviticus, and there in verse 13, and these scriptures are very clear. It says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon thee. And you can see the severity of this. And time and time and time again. Well, now, there's so many scriptures in the Old Testament, but there's so many scriptures in the New Testament. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. I just recently read an article of the Grace Proclamator, which is put out by the Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And what had happened was there were some complaints that, you know, anytime you're on a have a paper, somebody's always writing in a complaint or sending a complaint. And there was a complaint that the pastor of the church that they went to preached too much on abortion and homosexuality. And said, when
when that we ought to be manifesting love.
And the writer of this paper wrote back and said, how can you manifest something in love that God says is an abomination?
Now tell me, how can you do that? You know what it is, don't you? It's just easy. Easy go along, everything goes. And if you say anything, or if you preach anything, that is positive truth from the Word of God, then it's all wrong. Look at Romans chapter 1, and bear with me in verse 21. Now, I hope you young people will mark these scriptures, and you'll know what to do with these. You'll know what to do with these things. At least you can hear it from the Word of God of the Bible. But in Romans 1:21 it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now there it is. Vain in their imaginations. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now it's a foolish thing to be a homosexual. It's foolish. Now look. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now you know what our nations want to do today? They're wanting to worship nature and the birds instead of God. Save the earth. That's a bunch of baloney. And they get your children involved in this and say, now I believe that God's the one who takes care of the earth. And people today worship birds, dogs, cats, coons. Let me see, anything else I can name that get on everybody's toes. They worship them more than they worship God. So what's the end result?
It's going to say here, look here. Wherefore God also gave them up. See, when you don't worship the true God of heaven, God can turn you over. He can give you up. And so he said, and so what they did, they were worshiping creeping things and creatures rather than the true and the living God, and they were giving glory to them rather than the true and the living God. And so what God did in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Now where did that lust come from? Their own hearts, depravity, depraved, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now look. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And then the result, for this cause, and I tell you, when a people turn from God, hate God, don't want to think about God, don't want to mention in our schools, don't want to pray in Congress, don't want to have anything to name the name of God, then there's going to be this vile affection. And that's where we are. I tell you, we had, I never forgot what we had, but anyway, we had lots of times in school, we'd have prayer. And you never hardly did anything without praying, and you'd always talk about there's a God, and even though we had the evolutionists, you know, of that day, you know, and we've, you know, as I've said through the times, we had some, you know, that just had to teach the textbooks that have already been introduced on science, and you know, evolution sprang from monkeys, and we all thought that he did, and you know, by the way he acted and everything, but we knew better. I mean, we knew better, but you know, we wanted to throw that in as a little slang and things, but there was always no defiance of God. Even when I played basketball in high school, they would not have practice. We never had practice on Wednesday night because that was prayer meeting. Everybody went to church on Wednesday night. I mean, almost everybody. And they wouldn't even think about having basketball practice on Wednesday night. Now you have the basketball, throw out the church. Throw out God. You know, sports has become the God of our world. It's the God of our world. You know that as far as the world is concerned. It is the God of our world. And so what we find here is, so because of this, what did God do? For verse 26, for this cause gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now what happened was
that women began to what they call having sex relations with other women. And men began to have what they call sex relations with other men.
That's what this is. It says, and likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Now notice, M-E-N with M-E-N. There it is again. Working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they, now here it is. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. One of the most abominable things is to find one of these people and they want to talk religion. And they deny that they even deny the God of creation.
Now
look. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now God gave them over to it. To do those things which are not convenient. Now look. Being filled, not only this, but with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. We are rapidly coming to the place of a lawless society. Don't name God to me. You can't make me do this. You can't make me do that. I ain't going to do this. I ain't going to do that. That's where we are. Y'all ever heard that before? Here it is. Here's the results of it. Oh, I tell you. Now, God's people need to wake up. And God's people need to take a stand for the Lord. I thought about it as I saw that little boy there in high school. I thought how sad that made my heart. And I thought, now that's some mother's son. And that's some daddy's boy. And you know, it could be mine. It could be yours. And I thought, now that's what sin does. That's where we are. Very defined. Oh, I'm gonna live this lifestyle even though it's against God, it's against nature, it's against creation. It's against the very God of the heaven. But I'm going to do my own thing and just you all watch me. That's the attitude. And I thought the only hope for that young man is to meet Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the only hope for that young man. Well, I've not got time to go into all this, but preach all this. But now go with me back there to 1 Corinthians. Now I want you to look at this, 1 Corinthians 6. I especially want you young people, you know, here's the thing, when we preach these messages and teach this truth, people then try to peg us and say, well, you hate homosexuals. I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate homosexuals more than I hate anybody else. I hate the sin of homosexuals. See, people confuse the sin with the person. I mean, I know they're intertwined, but the thing is, we don't hate people. God's given us the heart of love. He saved us by His grace, and He's given us the heart of love. But we, because that you hate the sin and you love the soul of that person, it don't cause you to say, well, now, son, that's all right. You just keep up the good work. Well, I wouldn't dare say that. As heartbroken as it would be if it was one of my children, and it could be one of my grandsons, it could be. Or it could be, I've got grandchildren yet to be born. And you have too. And you know what kind of fix we're in. The Lord didn't come. You know what kind of fix we're going to be in the time your great grandchildren get here. You know how it is.
But I would want to think, by the grace of God, even though that they would be my grandchildren, I'd love them, that still I would love the Lord more to tell them, now, this is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. It's ungodly. It's abomination to God. I, personally, I'm not going to put my stamp of approval on it. I'm not going to have nothing to do with it. Now, with the grace of God, that's what I want to say. And I'm going to say, with the grace of God. Now, I'm challenging you this morning. I'm challenging you. And I'm not running you down, I'm not running your children down, but I'm talking about the situation we're in, the sin is before us, and how prevalent this thing has become.
Now look back here in 1 Corinthians 6, and I want you to see. He names all of these, but what I want you to go to is verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And I want you to notice what Paul says to Corinthians. He says, "And such were some of you." Now, what was some of the Corinthians before God saved them? I'll tell you what they were. They were fornicators. They were idolaters. They were adulterers.
That's sin, too.
That's right.
They were infidels. They were abusers of themselves and mankind. They were homosexuals. They were thieves. They were covetous. They were drunkards. They were revilers. They were extortioners. But he said, "And such were some of you."
It ain't no hard question. Somebody says, "Can a homosexual be saved?" Well, sure.
A murderer can be saved. A thief can be saved. A drunkard can be saved. A liar can be saved. A fornicator can be saved. An idolater can be saved. But the thing of it is, when they're saved by the grace of God, they don't maintain that lifestyle. You say, "Well, can I have it?" Well, here it is. Here. But you're watched. See, such were some of you, but you're washed. Now, what in the world does that wash mean? Go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. And look here what it says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. It says this. In verse 5. Revelation 1, 5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood."